asking you to please get your Bibles and turn with me today to the book of Matthew. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew 25. I'm going to look at a parable this morning that is very familiar to all of us, but I want to examine it again to see what thus saith the Lord this morning to us. God always has a word for his people. Amen. And we thank God that we can depend on God to feed us with manna from on high. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." We thank God for the reading of those 13 verses, and the Lord has given me to preach this morning from this subject, "No Jesus, No Light." No Jesus, no light. As we look at the first verse again, it has given us a picture of what God's kingdom is going to be like. And in it, this passage said that there were 10 virgins, and they took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. But the emphasis I want us to look at is in verse 2. It says, "And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish." Now, I think about today. There's a spiritual message in this for us. Amen. The world in which we live today, we're waiting on the bridegroom. Amen. Waiting on the bridegroom. And the point that God wants us to know that he does not want us to be foolish. He wants us to be wise. Yes. Amen. Jesus is coming, and it doesn't matter how long you've been hearing that. Those of us that's been living a little longer than others, we've been hearing that since we were children. Yes. And we keep saying Jesus is coming, and he is coming. Yes. Every day that somebody dies, he's come for them. Right. But he is coming on the clouds of glory. And it doesn't matter how long it's been. But we ought to thank God that God is long-suffering. Amen. By Jesus not coming yet, that has given someone else a chance to get right with God. But in the meantime, while we're waiting on Jesus' return, we need to be wise. All right, so the scriptures say 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And let's look at what makes the difference. Verse 3 says, "They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Foolish. They had lamps, but they didn't have oil. Yes. Y'all, some of you old enough to remember when, before we got electricity in the house, we had lamps. And we had oil in the lamps. But in another vessel, we had more oil. Yeah. So when that oil ran out, we could refill the lamp and we could keep the light burning. So we find out here they had lamps, but they didn't have any oil. That wasn't wise. Now, what does that mean spiritually? There are folks who are professing to be saved, but they don't have the Spirit of God. You can't be saved without the Spirit of God. And this is what's happening in the world today. There are so many folks who are saying that they are going to heaven. But the Bible teaches us, say, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Everybody who's saying they're going to heaven is not going to heaven. And we need to make sure that we are wise. We need to make preparation. I mean, they did the right thing by having a light, but they didn't do the right thing by not, they didn't consider that that light was going to need, the oil would need to be replenished. Oh, but I thank God. I thank God as we get a little further. Here in Mark, the 7th chapter, we find out that we have people who are professing to be saved, but they're not saved. They're saying that they're going to heaven, but they're not going to heaven. Amen. Let's look at Mark, the 7th chapter. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 reads, he answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And that is what we see today. We see people who are saying that they love the Lord, but they don't love God. Because the Bible says if we love God, we will do what he says. Folks are doing what they want to do. People want to change the word of God because this is 2015. They don't want to abide by what the word of God said. People don't want to hear a message about hell and damnation. Just because the preacher doesn't preach about it, it's not going to make it go away. God has prepared a place to punish folks who do not know his son. And just because you don't want to hear it, that does not make it not be real. We need to hear what thus saith the Lord. We need to use God's word to examine our lives. Too many times we're looking at each other. Jesus is our perfect example. We're not supposed to look at others. Sometimes churches are comparing each one church against another. That's not what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to look at him. Amen. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to look to the one who knows the way, the one who lived a perfect life in a human body here on earth. He did no sin. And if we need a perfect pattern, Jesus is our pattern. So we find out you got a lot of folks who are talking about it, but they don't know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you can't go to heaven. Amen. If you don't know Jesus and the pardoning of your sins, you're not saved. If you do not know Jesus, you're yet living a life of sin. Because we need to know Jesus because the Bible teaches us that when we confess our sins, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What needs to take place is we need a cleansing from the Lord. And we cannot do that ourselves. So we find out there are a lot of folks, they're talking. But all we find out is not the talk, it's the life. You can talk, but you got to back it up with a life. You got to live what you're talking about. You got to live according to God's word. You have to do what God says. God has left his word so that we can examine ourselves. God knows our hearts. God knows every hypocrite. Because when he saves us, he gives us his spirit. And the Lord knows every person whose spirit is in, who he's placed his spirit. Everyone that God has saved, he's given us his spirit. Because the Bible says that if we don't have his spirit, we're none of his. And if you're none of his, that means you can't go to heaven. Only God's children are going to heaven. Oh, I thank God for his word. So we find out there are people like the Pharisees, they're more holier than anyone. They had their scriptures in little boxes, but yet they didn't do right. They didn't live right. We got folks today, they can quote scripture, but they don't live it. It's good to know scripture, but it takes the power of the Holy Ghost to live it. And if you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're just talking. You got to live this word. We got to do what God says. Well, folks, today in which we live, and y'all know as you talk to people from place to place, folks are quick to tell you you can't live it. They say you can't live here without sinning. Everyone who says that, they don't know what the Word of God says. They don't know that it's not us. It's Christ in us who causes us to live a life that's free from sin. They don't understand that it's the Holy Ghost in us that causes us to walk the straight and narrow. They don't understand that you got to have power from on high. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, what they're saying is right. You can't live it, but what they're doing, they're leaving off the important part without Christ. If we didn't have Christ, we couldn't live a holy life. But because we have Jesus, because he lives on the inside, we can live this life. We can do what God says. The scripture lets us know that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's good to know that we can live this life. Don't accept what the man says. Believe the word of God. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. God made us holy, and then God came to live in us. And because God lives in us, we can live a righteous life. Oh, I thank God for his word. All right, then we got folks who go through, as I said, I was talking about the Pharisees. They were very rigid. They were thought they were more righteous than anyone. We still have Pharisees, the Pharisees in spirit today. There's some folks, they're just more righteous than everyone. Amen. They're on a pedestal above everyone else. That's not the spirit of Jesus. Jesus was meek and lowly. Amen. He didn't come for them to wait on him. He came to serve. And people forget. People forget God saved us so we can work. Not sit down and boast and brag. No, none of us can brag. Amen. The Bible said no one was righteous. Jesus saved all of us. And it wasn't because we were good. He found us when we were sinners, enemies of God. As we look at, we don't want to go through the formalities of talking about I'm a Christian and I'm on my way to heaven. And you can't treat your brother right. Oh, I just love everybody. And you haven't spoken to your sister 5 years ago. Oh, God doesn't want us to act like that. Because let me tell you something. The world can see us. They're looking at us. And it's something about a sinner man. He can pick out a hypocrite. He can tell you how you're supposed to live, but he can't live it himself. And we know why. But we need to be watchful and prayerful so we won't be a stumbling block for anyone. Amen. All right, we need to keep in mind, saints, that we got to live this life. Over in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 5, lets us know about this formality that people go through. It says, 2 Timothy 3 and 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. There are folks who talk holy. They talk love of Christ. They talk going to heaven, but they're not living the way God says. Amen. God says those people we need to turn away from. The scriptures say, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And we're going to have to take a stand that God separated us. He called us out of the world. He intends for us to live a separated life. He intends for us to live according to his word. He doesn't intend for us to satisfy man. We are to satisfy him. And I'm here to let you know today, when you satisfy God, somebody's not going to like you. When you do what God says, somebody's not going to like you. Sometimes your family members don't like you because you want to do and you want to live right. But I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to keep on living right. I want you to keep on being separated as God separated you. But in the meantime, we're not going to lift ourselves up and look down on folks. We're going to show the love that God has in us. We don't do folks the way they do us. We don't treat people the way they treat us. We don't talk to folks the way they talk to us. Because the Bible reminds us we are to edify and not tear down. We are to build up and not tear down. We are ambassadors for the Lord. And we need to keep that in mind. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that when folks do things to us, it doesn't affect us. We are human. Jesus wept. When the funeral procession was going through it and the lady lost her only son, Jesus had compassion. Jesus restored the son. So we have human emotions. We have human feelings. Folks say things to us and it hurt. But God wants us to know that as people of God, we have to forgive them.
Amen.
We got to forgive.
Yes.
If you don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. Amen. We don't hold grudges. We don't even the score. And when you do what God says, folks are going to talk about you. They're going to say that you're a pushover. They're going to say you let folks take advantage of you. But I'm so glad the word of God lets me know that God fights our battles. I'm so glad to let me know that I don't have to lose sleep over what somebody has done. Amen. God lets me know that if I forgive them, and when we forgive them, God will take it away from us. God will strengthen us. God will cause us to stand and live a righteous life in front. And that enemy that has done us wrong, when they come back and need a favor from us, we do it because the love of God is in us. I remind you, we don't give them, don't preach to them. Don't tell them, yeah, you did this and do this, but I'm going to help you this time. But if you ever do that to me again, don't you cut. No, that's not the way of Christ.
Amen.
We don't have to remind them of what they've done wrong. Amen. God does that.
Amen.
God can keep them from sleeping at night. God can cause them to not just, you on their mind constantly. And then God can send them back and make them beg your pardon. But in the meantime, before they come back, or if they never come back, the people of God, we will have forgiven them. Can I get an amen? It's good to live the way God says live. It's good to live according to the word of God. Because God knows the ways of man. But God has made provisions for us. God has made a way for us to live a holy life. God has made a way for us to live in peace. Say thank you, God. You keep us in perfect peace. That's what God said. If we keep our minds stayed on him, folks don't have peace because they're not keeping their minds on the Lord. They're keeping their minds on somebody who's done them wrong. They're keeping their mind on their boss man who should have promoted them, but they didn't promote them. They're keeping their minds on somebody who lied on them. God does not want us to think. God does not want us to think about that.
Amen.
We can't erase it. It comes to our mind, but we say it's in God's hands.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us to cast all you cares upon him because he cares for us. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
God is teaching us how to live, saints. We have to live in this world until we get to heaven. Too many of us want the earth to be heaven. It's not heaven. We're living in perilous times. There's an enemy that's all around us. And because we have an enemy, the children of the devil, they are our enemy. And because we have enemies, the enemies don't love you. Amen. Enemies want to bring harm to you. But in the midst of the enemy's camp, God is our protection. We don't have to worry about the enemy. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. We need to know that God is with us. We need to know that God is our protection. We need to know this too, that without him, we can do nothing. Amen. We're no match for the devil. Amen. The devil had us under his authority. And we only came from under his authority because Jesus made us free.
Yes.
And because Jesus made us free, we are free indeed. And what's so wonderful about Jesus making us free, we can't come under the authority of the devil anymore. We belong to God. We are God's children. The devil can never have us back. Now, I didn't say he's not going to come against us. We know if you've been living in this world any period of time, if you've been saved any period of time, you know the devil doesn't stop. He keeps coming against you. Amen. You get through one trial, here's another one. Amen. You get down to pray, then he'll bring something to your mind, try to keep you from praying. You come to church and you want to rejoice, he'll think about something that happened or whatever. The devil does not quit. But I'm so glad the word of God lets us know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he will deliver us out of them all. With every test that comes our way, God will provide a way of escape. Saints, we have victory. Jesus is our victory. And whatever comes our way, amen. Jesus, God is more than a match for the devil. Amen. So folks who talk Jesus but don't live it, beware of them. Beware of them. All right, let's go back to Matthew chapter 25. There's some more in this passage that the Lord wants us to see this morning. So we find out that the foolish had lamps, but they didn't have preparation to keep the lights burning, because oil will burn out. All right, let's continue as we look at verse 4. Verse 4 said, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So the wise person, they had the lamps, but they took other oil. They had a vessel with some oil. Amen. All right, now let's look. What is that saying to us? Wise people.
Yes.
We have Jesus.
Amen.
Wise people.
Oh, yeah.
We have Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. All right. What does that mean to us? All right. If you have Jesus, Jesus gives us eternal life. The light of Jesus is life. Amen. That's what the Bible says. It's life. And what life he gives us is eternal. All right, let's look at Luke, the 12th chapter. I just want to read this passage over in Luke chapter 12. All right, Luke chapter 12. It says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. In other words, the wise, they were prepared. They made preparations for their lights to keep burning.
Amen.
When we come to Jesus, we make preparation for our lights to keep burning. Amen. We are ready to meet Jesus. All right, let's go a little further. Let's go back to the Matthew's the 25th chapter. So the wise, they were prepared. They took oil. Verse 5, but while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So the bridegroom didn't know when he was coming, but the wise were prepared. So they all slumbered and slept. They were waiting. He tarried. He didn't come. But look when he came. Look what happened. Verse 6, it says, and at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Midnight. You know, most of the time, unless you work at night or you're just a late stay up at night, most folks sleep at midnight. Amen. And somebody wake you up at midnight, you kind of have to get your faculties together. You know, kind of have to pull it together, see where. But look what the Bible says. The cry was made at midnight. And it says, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. That's why they were there. Because the bridegroom is coming. Amen. That's why we are serving God. We're looking for the bridegroom to come. Amen. We don't know when he's coming, but we know he's coming. All right, let's go a little further as we look at verse 7. Then it said, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. All right, so we know, some people know that the lamps that we use, those oil lamps, that wick gets dark, black, and you have to trim it. You have to trim all that old black off, the smoky part, so that that oil can get through to that wick, and when you put that match there, it will light. So what happened, the bridegroom came, and they say they trimmed their lamps so that they could light it, and they had oil in order for it to burn. Midnight. I don't know if they put their lamps out. I just went out. But they had what was necessary to put that light going again. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. But we got to be wise. We have to be prepared. All right, so what did it say? When all the virgins arose and trim their lamps. And then look at it, verse 8. Well, before I go to verse 8, I want to mention this. God tells us in his word that we are to let our light, Matthew 5:16, so shine among men that they might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. In other words, he's telling us as Christian people, we have to have our light burning. Do you know our light is eternal? Our light is eternal. Our light never goes out. Amen. Think about that. It never goes out when God saves us. What a blessing from God. Verse 8 again. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. For our lamps are going out. You know what that meant? They were not prepared. If they had oil, they would have been able to have their lights continue to burn. But they didn't have oil. And then they asked the others to give us oil. Do we not understand that we have to meet and prepare for Jesus for yourself?
Amen.
Mama can't give you salvation. No. Daddy can't give you salvation. Your sister and brother can't give it to you. You got to prepare for yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is coming. Amen. While we're waiting, Jesus is coming. We don't know when, but he's coming. All right, so let's be wise. Let's be wise. So give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But look what verse 9 says. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Well, we find out here that the wise is telling them that, you know, you are personally responsible for your own selves. You know, I can't give you of your oil. Do you know we can't give a person salvation? I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. Amen. But the point is this. When in this parable, they told them to go where they could buy and sell. We know that the scripture let us know that we come without money and come without price. Amen. That's what the scripture tells us. Amen. We can get this all without money and without price. Jesus died that we could get it.
Yes.
Amen. So you can't buy salvation.
No.
You can't work and get salvation. You got to have faith in Jesus.
Yes.
And you need to become a believer in Jesus early.
Man.
Because young folks die. Babies die. Amen. Middle-aged people die. Senior citizens die. The Bible says we all are going to die. But we don't know when. So since you don't know when, and I don't know when, and God has made it plain in his word as he's coming back, And the scripture says he's coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, any such thing. Jesus is coming back for a holy people. He's coming back for a separated people. He's coming back for a people that's been made holy by God. And we who are holy, we live according to God's word. Let me tell you, if you live according to God's word, you'll be ready when Jesus comes back. When God saves you and you live according to his word, because God's word is right. Every word is right. And it's pleasing to God when we live the way God wants us to live. But we need to remember, if you don't have oil, can't live it. Can't live it. You're personally responsible. Amen. Ezekiel 18 chapter. Keep a mark on the 25th chapter. We'll be back. But I just want to read this passage over in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. Listen to what the word of God says. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Each man will have to give an account to God for what he's done in his body, whether it's been good or bad. Just because your father is a sinner, you don't have to claim it. Jesus died so that you could be made free. Amen. You don't have to be a sinner like your daddy. You don't have to be a sinner like your mother. Jesus died to deliver you. Amen. And we pray that our parents are saved, but if they're not saved, they're going to have to answer to God. And if you're not saved, you're going to have to answer to God. We are personally responsible as individuals to make sure that we are prepared to meet the bridegroom, because he's coming. Just as sure as the sun is shining out, that Jesus is coming. And we need to be ready when he comes. All right, so we find out that you're responsible for the life that you live. Everybody's going to have to answer to God. But you can be ready. You can be ready. All right, so we find out, as we continue to look at verse 10, it says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The wise had oil in their lamps, and they were waiting at the right place at the right time. The others who weren't did not have oil, did not have Jesus. Jesus lives in us in the form of the Holy Ghost today. Our bodies become the temple of the Holy Ghost. So that's how he lives in us. But those who did not have oil in their vessels, did not have Jesus in their lives, they went to get, and they were out of place. They were unprepared. And what happened when they were, now think about that. They waited, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us how long, but they waited, and it looked like just at the ninth hour, just at the, they were almost there, looks like it. But they weren't ready. They were not ready. And they went, and they were out of place, and that's what happens when Jesus comes back. Folks will be out of place. What do I mean you're going to be out of place? You're going to be sinners. You're not going to have Jesus in your life. You can be sitting in church, and if Jesus comes on the clouds of glory and you're a sinner, you won't be able to meet him in the midair, because you'll be out of place. We must have Christ in our lives. Amen. So we find out when they went, they were out of place. And while they were out of place, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. I'm reminded of Noah and the ark. And God put Noah and had Noah to go in with his family and all other things God told him. Then the door was shut. Everybody who was out of the ark of safety, out of Noah's ark, they were lost. See, God shuts the door. And when he shuts the door, nobody can open it. But right now, there's an open door, saints. there is an open door. You can walk in. You can have faith in Jesus. You can have your vessels filled. And what's so so wonderful about it is that the light of Jesus is life. And what does he give us? Everlasting life. And if I have everlasting life, I will never run out. My lights will never go out. I have an eternal flame. As I remind you of sometime up in Washington, D.C., at that cemetery where President Kennedy's grave is, they have what is called an eternal flame. But that eternal flame is not eternal as we have eternal life, because it's fed by gas. And one year, that gas line got ruptured, and the flame went out. And the light couldn't come on until they repaired it. But let me tell you what Jesus does for us, nothing can break it. There will be no breakage. There will be no time when our light is not out, we'll go out. Our light is eternal. Our light is Jesus. Our light is the Spirit of God in us. And we have everlasting life. Say thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank God, since we have life. Man, and we have life. That means our lights is always shining. The door was shut. You know, that's going to be a sad day. Because when Jesus comes back, the scripture says over in Matthew, there are going to be folks who will say, we prophesied. In your name, cast out devils and done many wonderful works. And Jesus will have to tell them, I don't know you. You're workers of iniquity. See, there are folks they're doing work in the church, but it's not the work that brings glory to God. Man, you can't work your way into heaven. Man, you got to be born again. You got to surrender your life to Jesus. You got to let him make you what he wants you to be. And he will create you into a new creature. And we'll be created in God's image. And I thank God for that. We are in the kingdom of God, and we have eternal life right now. Yes. See, some folks think that we're going to get it when Jesus comes back. If you don't have it, if you're waiting for Jesus to come back and you don't have it now, you're going to be lost. You have to, the day that God saves you and he lives, comes to live in you, we have eternal life. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? And since we have eternal life, that means we can't die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We just change residence. We leave this shell. What you look at is a shell. The inner man, the soul, goes home to be with Jesus. And this body is not the body that's going to heaven. We're going to get a new and a glorified body for our glorified soul so we can live forever in a new and glorified body. Thank God for Jesus. So we find out they were out of place. And when Jesus come back, there will be people out of place. But they'll be without excuse. Because Jesus died so that they could be ready. So they could be prepared when it's time to leave. Verse 11. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And that's why the scriptures say, everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, and do not the thing. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? If you're not obeying Jesus, you're not. He's not your Lord. Because the scripture says that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. That means we obey him. And everyone that God says, we obey him. Man, we don't compromise, say, well, I can sin and then God go ahead and ask. No, 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 no. We resist the devil. Amen. Amen. We stand on God's word. Amen. So here they came back and they said, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But look what he said, verse 12. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Those are some sad words. They were too late. They called him Lord, but they were not his children. Jesus said, I don't know you. But I worked in the usher board, but you didn't repent of your sin. I worked on the trustee board, But you didn't repent of your sin. Amen. I cleaned the church, but you didn't repent of your sin. I paid my tithes and offering, but you didn't repent of your sins. I taught Sunday school, but you didn't repent of your sins. It's not works that's going to save us. It's faith in Jesus. And when God saves us, then we can really work. He prepares us to work. But there are a lot of folks who are going to hear him say on that day, I don't know you. And he doesn't know them because they rejected him. They rejected his word. There are people today, they don't want to hear about Jesus. We're coming up into the Christmas season. And companies are afraid to let people say Merry Christmas. They don't want you to tell somebody, say Happy Holidays. What holiday are we celebrating? Christmas. Christmas. They don't like it because Christ is part of Christmas. They don't want that. And this is what we are facing today. Folks do not want to honor Jesus, but the Bible lets us know the day is coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. They're going to have to honor him for who he is. But it's going to be too late. Now is the time to bow down to him. Now is the time to surrender your life. Now is the time to say, Lord, I yield. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, save me. Because we want to be ready. See, and this is the important thing. Just as they did not know when the bridegroom was coming, we don't know when Jesus is coming. Folks are trying to predict, trying to tell you this year. They've done all their mathematicals and all this stuff they got figured out. And God already told us in his word that we don't know the day or the hour. And then one person said, well, he didn't say the month or the year. Well, you know what? He was wrong. And anybody else who tries to figure it out, they're going to be wrong. The angels in heaven don't know when time is up. So how are we down here going to try to figure it out? God didn't intend for us to figure it out. God's word for us is to be ready. And if you're ready, it doesn't matter when Jesus comes. Amen. That's how we have to live. We have to live that way every day. Because we don't want to go through the motion. Come to church every week. Amen. Praying every day. But if never repented of your sins. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. We got to repent. We got to turn from sin. We have to go to Jesus. See, we can't save ourselves. Some folks, they try to live a righteous life. You can't live a righteous life without Jesus in you. Because the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It takes Jesus in you to understand what you read in the scripture. And then it takes the Holy Ghost in you to help you live it. And if we don't have Jesus, we can't live it. So those folks, Jesus had to tell them, I don't know you. So this is what Jesus wants us to know. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have light. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have eternal life. If you don't have Jesus, those of us who are living today, we don't have the Holy Ghost because that's how he lives in us. In the form of the Holy Ghost. The Bible makes it plain that our bodies become the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is who Jesus sent here. Jesus said he was going away, but he's going to send us another comforter. And he would live in us. He would abide in us. And that's where he lives. Verse 13 as I close. Watch. Watch, saints. You know, the scripture tells us to watch and pray. You know, people pray. And they don't know what's happening. You know, when the brothers are praying, I have my eyes open. God has given me as being the watchman over the wall. Amen. Amen. You know, it's all right but for you to close your eyes, but I'm watching. But you need to be aware of your surroundings. See, that's one thing about God. When he said, we can pray with our eyes open. You can pray driving and not close your eyes. Amen. You can pray when your boss man is telling you off and you have to look him in the face. And you can pray without working your mouth. Yes. Amen. You can pray anywhere. Yes. Amen. You can pray in school, children. They can't stop you from praying because you don't have to bow down. You don't have to make the sign of the cross. You can just talk to the Lord in your heart. Hear every word you pray. We can pray in the White House. We can pray in the Capitol. Anywhere I want to pray, I pray. Yes, God has fixed it so they can't stop us from praying. Isn't that a blessing? Man cannot stop us from praying. As long as life is in our bodies, we can pray. We can talk to God because I don't have to move my lips. I can speak for him on the inside, and he'll hear every word. We got to watch. Got to watch. And he watching means you got to live right. Amen. Because the Bible says, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. What are we watching for? Jesus' return. And if I'm watching, that means I got to live right every day. Every day. You don't let your guard down. Watch and pray. The scripture says, lest you enter into temptation. Remember, the devil is going up and down, to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. We're his targets. He already has the Son of Man in his hands. He wants to discourage us. He's a discourager. He wants us to not have faith in Jesus. He wants us to think because trouble is in our way that God must not love us. We know that we will have trouble. Jesus had trouble. And because Jesus had trouble, we're going to have trouble. He told us to arm ourselves as he suffered in the flesh, for us to arm ourselves likewise. But there's one thing about it. He's with us. We have victory. I want you to know you got victory. Our victory is in Jesus. And as long as you got Jesus, amen, everything is all right. Amen. And as long as you got Jesus, you're going to live right. Watch. You don't know when he's coming. See, some folks say, well, you know, young people sometimes say, well, you know, I'm young and I've been under my mom and dad. I want to live. I want to wait till I get out and do what I want to do. And they won't have to tell me what to do. A sad story when we were living in Washington, D.C. They closed streets to celebrate the new year coming in. And they have a big party. And this young lady had that same attitude. I'm going to go out and live and do what I want. You know, I'm 18 now. So I can do what I want to do. So she went out for the New Year celebration. And she never came back. She lost her life. She wasn't expecting to leave. She expected to go out and have a good time. Young folks, you need to watch. You're not immune. You need Jesus. Amen. And don't say, I want to do this. What you need to do is live for Jesus, and then he'll give you a good life. Because the life that young folks, many of them want to live, is detrimental. Amen. The devil is leading you down the paths of destruction. And then the devil thinks that what's so sad about it, the devil is a liar. Folks go out, they get on drugs, they drink, and they lose all their money. And then they say they had a good time. The devil has deceived mankind. Amen. You need to live for Jesus and let him give you a wholesome life. And let him cause you to miss some of the pitfalls that the devil has out there for you. See, there's some folks who've been living for the devil, and they are young folks, and they're like, oh, it's old senior citizen. Amen. The devil, he'll destroy you. Amen. But then God will take folks who have been living a long time, and you're asking their age, you're shocked. And why? They've been living for God. God preserved them. God renewed their youth. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's what God does for you. The best life you can live is living for God. So since we don't know, everyone, we don't know. And I was talking to the young people because I was young once. And I know how some of the things young folks think and say and what you were looking forward to. But I thank God he saved me when I was a young man. I have no regrets. Amen. Thank God for saving me when I was in college. Have no regrets. young man, and God has kept me all these years. Traveled different places all over the world, but God has kept me. God said he'd never leave me. I thank God that since I gave my life to God, I found that's the best life you can live. Amen. Because he takes care of his children. Oh, but then there are senior citizens. You're in the same position, seemingly like the young folks. You want to do what you want to do. And you're not ready to serve God. But let me tell you, God is telling you to watch. You got to be ready. Amen. And those who are older, you know, our time is running out. We didn't come here to live forever. Man, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. Man, we're here today, and we don't have to be sick to die. Can I get an amen? You can be, the doctor can say you're a picture of health, but God calls you home. There are a lot of folks who are healthy, but they are gone because their time is up. Live for God so that whenever your time, you'll be ready to go. And when you leave here, you indeed will go to a better place. God's kingdom, because we are God's children, and we have Jesus, and because we have Jesus, we have everlasting life. But if you don't have Jesus, no light. And if you don't have light, you're in darkness. And if you're in darkness, that means you're in sin. But thank God that Jesus is the light of the world. And then after he saves us, he tells us that we are the light of the world. Will everyone please stand? Everyone please stand. Perhaps there's someone desire prayer. God spoke to your heart this morning. Why don't you just come and say, God, help me, save me. If you need to be saved, come to God boldly. He already knows you need it. But you have to confess that you're a sinner and you want to be saved. And God will do that for you. Is there another? Why don't you come? It's between you and the Lord. No one knows why you're there. Come to Jesus today. Let him help you. Let him save you. Is there another one? Is there another one who's bold enough and come and say, Lord, help me? He will save you. He will save you. Just now. God bless you. We thank God for those at the altar. Have faith in God. Have faith in his word. What he promises, he will do. Heads about, eyes closed. Dear God, our Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We come saying, thank you, Lord. We thank you because you are a God of mercy. We thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die for our sins. Father, we ask you to look on those at the altar. You know them one by one, name by name. You know their heart's desire. And Lord, help them to believe. Help them to have faith in you. If there's anyone there who needs to be saved, help them to confess their sins. Help them to come to you and say, God, have mercy on me. Lord, please forgive me and save me. Lord, I want to live for you. Save them, Lord. Open their understanding and give them deliverance. And those who are saved, Lord, whatever they're facing in this world, help them to know that you're with us. You said you wouldn't leave us. You said you would help us. You said you would provide a way of escape during our test and trial. You said you would keep us in peace as we keep our minds stayed on you. Father, encourage their hearts, strengthen them. And Lord, we ask you to fight the battles. Lord, as we live for you, the enemy comes against us as a flood sometime. But Lord, we know that our help comes from you. All our help. We're leaning and depending on you. Lord, we ask you to bless everyone at the altar. Grant their request according to your will. This we pray in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen. And amen. God is a great God, saints. God is worthy of praise. Let's keep on praising God. He just keeps on doing great and wonderful things for us, his people. At this time, Sister Jenkins is coming with our announcements.
Good afternoon. I do thank God for being here today in Victory in Christ Bible Church, where God's word takes precedence. I thank God we're taught to live the word, so we must live ready. Next Sunday is the first Sunday. That's our communion Sunday. First Sunday in December. First Sunday in December. And we're asked to please come prepared for communion. The Mass Choir is the serving choir for next Sunday. And rehearsal on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. All choir members, please be here on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. I want to remind us that Christmas is fastly approaching. Christmas is fastly approaching. And many of you saw the display in the back. It's for our shoeboxes of love. So, again, this year, we want to be a blessing as the Lord has blessed us. There will be a sheet passed out to you as services end so that you will see all of the items that we will need to place in those boxes. And if the Lord allows, don't just do one, you know, do two, three. There's somebody that may want to help you to do some boxes, you know. So we want to do this outreach that the Lord has given us and be a blessing to those who are less fortunate than we are. So please remember when you get those sheets, start to get your items so that when they tell us they need to be turned in, we will be prepared. Also, ladies, all of us who plan to attend our annual Christmas luncheon, we would like for you to give $10, and some of you have already done so, to Sister Felicia. She had to leave before services ended today. But if you have those $10, please, you can turn it in to me, and I'll turn it in to her. But Tuesday night, please, that's going to be the last time that you can turn in your $10 if you don't have it today for our Christmas luncheon. The Lord has allowed us to come together as women and fellowship and represent Christ, because we know that that's what Christmas is all about. It's all about Christ in this season of the year. So please remember, if you have your funds today, your $10, you can turn them in to myself, and I will make sure that Sister Felicia gets it. We do have, want to remind you of our services on Tuesday night, Bible study at 7:30, on Thursdays, noonday Bible study. And we're still encouraging everyone to please attend Sunday school. Please attend Sunday school. We learn so much more about God's word when we can come to Sunday school and we can be taught about what thus said the Lord in his word. We'd like for you to remember all of the sick. Please remember them in your prayers and visit when possible. This year, our theme is self-inventory. Thank you.
He's coming. Jesus is coming, saints. Amen. Jesus is coming. So Let's keep our minds on the Lord. There are a lot of evil things happening in the world, but we're going to keep our minds on Jesus because he'll fix it. He can fix it for us. Amen. Man is trying to solve it, but God can solve the problems. And let's have faith in him. We thank God again for everyone who's here. Thank God for this Thanksgiving that we just celebrated. But as I said before Thanksgiving, that every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Every day we wake up, we say, thank God for being alive. And we just thank God for you. And let's continue to be faithful. Let's continue to, we're approaching the last month of the year. God has been good to us. And we want to encourage you, let us continue. This is December, that self-inventory. One more month. Let's keep examining ourselves, amen? Because you can always find room for improvement, and we want to be ready when Jesus comes, when our light's burning. Yes, sir. Sister Kelly's home. Thank God. Thank God. God hears and answers prayer, doesn't he? Amen. Service started. She was in the hospital. Service out. She's home. God is a great God. So let's keep on praying one for the other. Let's keep serving God. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Let's not forget Bible study on Tuesday. Sunday school, as Sister Jenkins said, because our Sunday school needs you. And again, we're so thankful to see Brother and Sister Hawkins. So glad to have you. Amen. Y'all just look like y'all just at home. Amen. So that's what we want you to feel when you visit here. We thank God for you. And thank God. Our brother was saying amen. Amen. Thank God for you both of you. God is good. God is good. If there are no other announcements, let's keep praying for Sister Cobb. Amen. 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 Let's, if that's no other announcement, everyone stand. See. Give me see so I can see. It's another day's journey, and I'm so glad. It's another day's journey. It's another day's journey, and I'm so glad. It's another day's journey, and I'm so glad. The world can do me no. It's another day's journey. It's another day's journey, and I'm so glad. It's another day's journey, and I'm so glad. The world can do me all. It's another day's journey, and I'm so glad. It's another day's journey. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Oh,